Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning as Pastor John is leading our membership class this morning. And if you have not yet joined this fellowship in membership, the path forward is to be a part of our membership class, Life 101. We would encourage you to be a part of the next class, and you can sign up and have them call you when that is offered next. But while he is doing that, I am so thrilled to be with you this morning in this series, Anxiety-Free Living. And what I wanted to talk about is this idea of baggage. And so, as you can see, I've brought some baggage to the stage today. A couple of you asked me if I was, this was just a subtle sign that I was leaving, and I hope that wasn't an encouragement to, because we plan on staying for a while. But here are some interesting statistics about packing and American habits in packing our baggage that I just found interesting. And I'd be curious to find out where you land on this. 70% of people fold their clothes rather than roll their clothes to pack their suitcase. Out of curiosity, how many of you are clothes folders in packing the suitcase? All right, and then how many of you are like, suckers, y'all are wasting so much space, you roll the clothes. Yeah, all right, I mean, it's a great debate, which one takes up the least or the most amount of space. All right, how about this one? It's stated that 77% of Americans lay out their clothing on like a bed or a table and then put it in the suitcase, while the other 23% just throw it in the suitcase as you pull it out of drawers or the dryer. How many of you are people that lay out the clothes on something other first, okay? And then how many of you, like myself, just pack it straight into the suitcase? Yeah. All right. How about this one? I'm surprised this number's not a little bit higher. Maybe it's embarrassment. But 55% at least admitted that they do not use everything that they pack when they go on a trip. How many of you would be willing to admit that you do not use everything that you pack? Yeah, see, there were some fibbers on that right there. They said that 74% of people pack at least 2 to 3 pairs of shoes. How many of you would at least say, you got to have three pairs of shoes? Yeah, I won't go any higher. Some of you may be like, she's got a whole separate bag, but... And you don't have to raise your hand on this one because I understand in polite company, but 45% of people bring one pair of underwear for every day plus a spare. You got that one spare. And then there's another about 19 to 20% of people that bring double the amount of underwear per day that you are going to be somewhere. And I just want to know, what are you afraid is going to happen? I mean, like... we'll just move on, but anyways. And then I'm surprised that this is not a little bit higher as well, but 62% of people admit to overpacking, like being concerned about the weight on an airplane or all those kind of things. And I won't make you admit that today, but I would imagine that many of us are overpackers as Americans. And here's the deal. Not only are we physically overpackers with our baggage, but many of us have packed on spiritual, emotional, mental, relationship baggage that we are dragging around with us all the time. And that's really what the text we're going to be looking at in Matthew chapter 11 is going to speak to. It's an invitation from Jesus, for people who would identify as saying, I am an overpacker. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is what it says. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." As we think about this, just right there in the Life Point outline there in your bulletin, I just want to start with this. Our lives are filled with numerous anxieties and heavy burdens, and yet Jesus extends an invitation to experience true rest. I mean, honestly, if I were to just say that first statement from Jesus, "All of you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me." That would pretty much identify every one of us in this room, if we were honest. Weary and heavy burdened. Sort of the imagery here is weary are those who are beyond exhaustion. Heavy burdened is sort of the picture of someone who is already weighed down and being given another thing to carry. And many of us here today would say, "I spiritually, emotionally, physically even, I am loaded down, and yet I just feel like people keep adding packs to my burden." And it is for those who are willing to admit that we are weary and loaded down that Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Rest. And so what I would like to do is just sort of unpack these three verses over our time together this morning. So let's go ahead and begin with number one. The invitation from Jesus is to unload upon me. He invites us to unload our burdens on him. Just for that simple, come to me. Come to me. I think about this in the sense of both our spiritual salvation, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit, but then also some of these other burdens that many of us carry. And I put it there in the outline that there is a resource that if this sermon sort of connects, if this sort of begins to spur something in you, pastor and author Max Licato has a book called Traveling Light. Sort of in like the packing sense. And he is using Psalm 23 to overlay this passage of how do we unload these burdens. And I brought it with me because I didn't want to be underprepared, so I packed here. So here is the book. And let me just read off some of the burdens, some of those things that weigh us down. I just want to kind of start with this because I think this is going to help connect what does Jesus mean? What is he talking about? And so here are just some, just when I was flipping through the table of contents. The burden of loneliness, the burden of shame, the burden of envy, the burden of doubt, the burden of being discontent, the burden of worry, the burden of hopelessness, the burden of guilt, the burden of arrogance, the burden of the fear of death and the grave, the fear of grief, and then the burden of fear itself. And those are just a selection. And I think if we're honest, many of us might say, "Oh, okay, now I'm connecting when Jesus says those who are heavy burdened, what he has in mind." Many of us are walking around with guilt. There is a very strong and real thing, I believe, called mom guilt. And there's a lot of moms that are walking around with mom guilt, and Jesus says, "Come to me with your mom guilt." There are many here who feel that they've been passed over and looked over, and they are discontent, and it is just weighing them down, like, "Why is no one looking my way?" And Jesus says, "Come to me with that feeling of discontent." There are some who fear death and the grave, either for themselves or for a loved one or for children, and it is weighing you down. It's paralyzing you with fear, and Jesus says, "Come to me with that burden." So maybe there was something that was read there that is a connection with you, and Jesus is inviting to unload on him. You don't find many people willing to say, "Give me that heavy burden that you're carrying. And Jesus says, I want all of them, child. I want all of them. And so here's the truth there. Each of us has baggage that we were never meant to carry. That's one of the things I like about that book by Max Lucado is that's a statement. You were never meant to carry some of these burdens. Just like in the TSA, there are certain things that were never meant to be in your checked baggage. For instance, these are a couple off the TSA over the last couple of years that are weird things that they have found in baggage that was never meant to be flown or carried in a checked or non-checked bag. One would be a ball python in a sack hidden in a hard drive for a computer. Not meant to carry that. How about this one? There was a wedding where the groom's gifts were shaped like bombs. Like the old, you know, like the black cannonball, like cartoon. And all the groomsmen leave the wedding with those, and that was a long explanation for those guys. Never meant to carry that. How about the TSA agent that found a jar full of human eyeballs? Not supposed to do that, in case you were looking at that later. How about this one? I don't know why it's wrong, other than it just is wrong, but they discovered a passenger coming from India was carrying cow dung toothpaste. So they saved a lot of people there with that one. They have found shrunken heads. And then there was some mixed up paperwork one time with 18 cadaver heads that were supposed to go somewhere for science, and some poor baggage guy found those because they were marked inappropriately. There are just certain things that we are not meant to put in our baggage. And Jesus is telling us there are certain things that you are carrying around, whether it is guilt, arrogance, pride, envy. You were never meant to carry that. And so just hand it over to me. Number two, Jesus invites us not only to unload our burdens upon him, but to submit to him. In the passage that we read, he says, take on my yoke. It's an invitation to submit to him. Many of you know this, but in case you don't, a yoke was sort of a wooden, custom wooden piece that would fit on the neck and on the back of oxen so that they could then be driven to drive a cart or a plow or whatever was necessary by the one driving it. And Jesus says, put on my yoke. Give me your burdens and then willingly submit to me. Can I be honest? This is probably one of the hardest parts for people in following Christ is to say, I am handing over the reins of my life to you, Jesus. Would you admit that? Would you agree with that? Is that not difficult? When a challenge arises, when one of these burdens comes up, we are determined, I can fix this. And Jesus says, would you just hand me that burden? And then would you allow me to guide your life? Here's the truth. The yoke of Christ releases you from the burden of your inadequacies. When we put on the yoke of Christ to submit to him, it releases us from our own weakness. You remember it said in the scriptures that in our weakness, he is shown strong. Well, guess what? That is true, and equally true is in our strengths, he is shown strong when we hand it over to him. It reminds me of this. As a student pastor, we take various trips over the course of a year. Maybe it's to camp. Maybe it's like in a couple of weeks, we're taking some students up to Dallas to work in the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Warehouse. And we do these things. And can I just tell you, there is a big difference for me between when I have to drive students myself and get kind of a fleet of cars and when we get a charter bus to take us somewhere. Why? Because when we have a charter bus as the leader of the group, I am handing off the responsibility of traffic, of safety, of being awake enough to safely drive after staying up with these rascals, right? Like, it is a way for me to go, I hand this over. And guess what I will often do? I will take a nap and find rest on that bus. And you can know that this is true because every time I fall asleep on a bus, there are 40-something people that take a photo of me asleep on the bus. Man, this to me, this is huge. I think this is a picture. For me, when I get on a charter bus, and a couple years ago, we had a charter bus driver, and literally he gave us instructions. We sat down. I'm feeling great. And then all of a sudden, I felt really great because he busted out gloves, like driving gloves with the fingers cut out. And I was like, this dude has got us. And he knows the direction. He can deal with the traffic. He's got us. It is legitimately a Jesus take the wheel situation, right? Amen. And when we take on the yoke of Christ, we say, Jesus, would you please just take control of where my life is heading and what decisions I need to make and how my family's going to be provided for? I'm just going to yoke up next to you and you lead the way. And for many of us, we battle that, but Jesus invites and says, if you will put on my yoke, you will find rest. It's like sitting on a charter bus and let me drive to the destination. Number three, learn from me. Christ invites us to unload our burdens on him, to willingly submit to him so that we don't have to deal with our own weaknesses. And then he invites us to learn from him. In this passage, I want you to notice as he says this in verse 29, all of you take up my yoke and learn from me. And here's why. Because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Here is the truth here that I want you to see. The teaching of Christ releases you from the burden of harsh taskmasters. Learning from Christ releases us from being under the tutelage of harsh taskmasters. Here's what is happening in this passage is Jesus has been battling with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. And he is looking at this crowd and says, come follow me because you will find gentleness and humility. And what he was saying was, that is in opposition to these other religious leaders, these Pharisees, who put heavy burdens of religion on you. I think about harsh taskmasters. I think about, you know, people like Scrooge in the Christmas story that many of us will watch. And, you know, that's a harsh taskmaster. But likely what Jesus had in mind was helping the Israelites, the Jewish people, think back to when they were slaves in Egypt. And remember, they had harsh taskmasters. And he is trying to relate the fact that the Pharisees, with all their extra rules and burden put on the people. See, the religious people loved all these extra rules, but it was incredibly hard to be the average person and feel like, how can I possibly please God? They had all these traditions about things like the Sabbath, things that were not even in the law of Moses, but they, in order to take extra boundaries so that you never even could get close to breaking the law of Moses. For instance, on the Sabbath, they would parse down to what is carrying a burden or a load on a Sabbath. And it would be things like anything more than milk that would be more than one swallow. You can't carry that or you have broken and violated the Sabbath. They would have discussions. Can a father pick up their child, or is that considered work on the Sabbath? If you were a seamstress and you walked out and had a needle just in your pocket on the Sabbath, then you have violated the Sabbath. You can see how it would feel impossible and an incredibly heavy load for, can I even honor God? Well, in 2019, we don't necessarily have exact rules like that, but for many of you, you are weary and heavy burdened because you are trying to figure out, how do I please God? Can I go enough Sundays to please God? Can I be a part of enough Bible studies to please God? Have I offended and put negative checks into my balance if I didn't get up and read the Bible and pray today? Am I now in deficit to that? Have I prayed enough? Have I helped enough people across the street? Have I helped enough people get things off high shelves at Walmart? Have I done enough, God? I want you to understand, almost every other world religion, that is their weariness and heavy burden. Can I perform enough good to outweigh my bad? And that was where the Pharisees had put the people. And maybe that's where you're today going, I'm trying, I want to please him, I hope I get to heaven. And I want you to know today, Jesus says, come to me. Learn from me and find that I am not harsh, but a gentle teacher. And that when you unload your burdens on me and are covered, your sin is forgiven at the foot of the cross by what Christ has done. He says, you don't earn salvation. You can't earn God's favor. But you put your faith in Christ. And Romans says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It changes everything. Some of you need to take off this burden of, I've been trying to just please God with everything that I could do right. And God says, that's a burden you were never meant to carry. You couldn't carry that. In fact, Paul, talking about the law of the Pharisees, when the new believers, Gentiles, were coming to the faith in the book of Acts, they had this conference. Should now Gentiles be held responsible to all of the law? And they said, you're talking about the law that neither we nor our fathers could keep? No, there is now freedom in Christ. Lay down your burdens. If you are tired of that wrestling in the soul of, does God love me? Is God pleased with me? Is there a place for me in heaven? The invitation is, come to Christ. Number four. Not only are we invited to unload our burdens on him, not only are we invited to submit to him by wearing his yoke and to learn from him, but number four, he invites us to work with him. In the very last verse there, it says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what I mean by come and work with Christ. Here's the truth. Serving Christ releases you to delight in your true purpose. See, before Christ, if you're in a works-based righteousness, trying to earn God's favor with good deeds, then often things like coming to church and reading the word and praying are a drudgery, not a delight. But when you come to Christ and experience his freedom and are wearing his yoke, knowing that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that all things that happen to me are working for my good because I'm one of God's kids. Now, these things in serving the Lord are delight, not drudgery. Have you ever seen somebody in a job that took delight in what they were doing and it just made everything better in that situation? Have you had a stewardess or a flight attendant who really enjoyed their job and like, I'm going to have fun with this. Maybe they did a little song for the, you know, buckle up in case the plane goes down song. And, you know, it's just like, man, that's a lot less scary than, you know, the other way. And, you know, or you've had a server at a restaurant that just really was going above and beyond and they just enjoyed what they were doing. It makes a difference. I think about, for me personally, one of the worst jobs that I could have. Now, if you have this job or have an uncle, I'm just saying for me. But the only time I've ever experienced someone doing this job, they were one of those people that just got great delight and joy, which actually in this case made me a little uncomfortable. It's the bathroom attendant. Have you ever been to one of these where you go to a restaurant and you slip off to go use the restroom or wash your hands, and there is someone in there waiting for you with like a towel over their arm? And it's like, may I interest you in one of our stalls? Today's special is 3-ply toilet paper. You know, it's just like, what's happening here? And then, you know, after you make your way to the sink and they're like, we have a variety of fragrances. You look like a lilac man. I mean, just like taking joy in your job makes a difference. And can I say this? When we come to Christ, and it is a genuine thing, we're learning from Him. We are submitted to Him. We have unloaded those things which we were not meant to bear. Working with Christ is a delight, not a drudgery. And people will notice that what you are doing, that you take joy in it. Even if it's you're in a position that you don't like, even if you are in situations that are unfavorable, you can still have delight and joy so that other people will see that there is something different. You are carrying burdens and the weariness of this world differently than everyone else. I would almost say this. For some of us, the reason that Christianity or following Christ has been difficult is because we have not laid down our burdens and seen Christ relieve us of those burdens and give us rest. And certain things like even coming here on a Sunday are a drudgery because we think, well, I've got to put something in the good column for the Lord. Instead of just going, I get to come and release the burdens and the weariness of this week and worship the Almighty who made me and gave me a purpose. I can't wait to be there. There's a difference. Number 5 would be this, not only to unload upon Him and to submit to Him and to learn from Him and work with Him, but lastly, He promises rest in Him. This is huge. Look at the truth in your outline. Christ provided rest gives us soul refreshment and promised eternal peace for our soul. You may have come in this morning and just your inner being is tired and it's been wrestling and there's no peace there. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. The words that are used here for rest indicate not a total cessation from work, not a total stoppage of work, but a refreshment in what you are doing. It's like when you run a marathon, or when other people do, and you are tired, and you come by, and somebody hands you a cup of water. And they're yelling and cheering for you, and it gives you the boost that you need for the next X number of miles. And Jesus says, come to me if you're tired and I can refresh your soul to keep going. The second time the word rest is used here is in the sense of an eternal rest. An eternal rest. Something that we can experience now because we are in part of what is called eternity. Till the end of eternity, which doesn't have an end, right? For forever and ever and ever. We can have rest knowing that we are sons and daughters of the King, that we have been adopted into His family, that He is taking care of us, that we cannot undo what He has done. And that brings rest. It tells us we don't have to fear sin, death, hell, because He's conquered it. There can be a peace in our soul that says, I'm good. I have entered that rest that was promised so many years ago to Abraham, Isaac, and the children of Israel. The book of Hebrews says they entered into Canaan, but if that had been true rest, why would they speak of another rest? But He gives this warning. Don't be like that first generation that hardened their hearts and missed the rest that was provided for them. And what he's saying is this: don't harden your heart and miss Jesus. Take my sin burden. Take my pride burden. Put your yoke upon me and let me serve you in delight and not drudgery. And I'll take a little bit of that rest that you're offering. There's an interesting thing as I seek to close here about baggage. When you go to the airport, I don't know where you stand on the controversial topic of checking a bag or carry-on only. In my household, I am a check the bag. My wife is a carry-on only. We just do our own thing with our own bags. One of the reasons I don't like carry-on bags is because when I am walking through the airport, I don't want to have to keep up with this thing. Thank you, sister. I want somebody else to deal with it so that I am free of it. If I need to go to the bathroom and I'm traveling by myself, I don't have to figure out how to handle that situation there, because there's not an attendant in those bathrooms. If I need to go eat, I can just sit down. When it's time to load the plane, I'm not worried about, am I going to have to check my bag at the gate anyways? Are they out of overhead space? I can just walk in and sit down. But there is a risk when you check a bag, is that it might not get there. And have I been burned before? Absolutely. Does that deter me? No way. But there is an interesting place in Scottsboro, Alabama, called the Unclaimed Baggage Center. And when your bag is lost and they can't figure out who you are or how to get it to you, after 90 days, truckloads of unclaimed baggage go to Scottsboro, Alabama, and now other people can buy your stuff. That is the absolute truth. They have found a full suit of replica armor in the luggage that was lost. They found a violin made in the 1770s. They found a weird puppet from the movie Labyrinth in this. They found laptops and money and all kinds of stuff. But guess what? That's not ideal for our personal physical belongings. But can I just say this? When you bring your baggage to the check-in claim center with Jesus Christ, he has a 100% lost rate. In that when you get off the plane, you don't have to pick that baggage back up. And so the last blank here is this. This is for you to fill in. Blank is the biggest burden I carry, and today I want to bring it to Jesus. That's the response. And so let me do this as we close. I know this is a little bit different, but I'm going to go old school with you for a minute. I'm going to ask everybody to just bow your head and close your eyes. And just in this moment, I feel like with a sermon like this, with a text where Jesus is inviting us to come, as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to ask you, if there is a burden that you are carrying and you just want to bring it to the Lord in prayer today, would you just slip up your hand that we may pray for you? Thank you. Hands all over this place. Thank you. This is really for the Lord to see. This is really for you to just take an action and say, Lord, would you please take this? I'm going to pray over those in just a moment, but I also want to encourage you, if you are someone who's been trying to please the Lord through your own works and not through faith in the work of Christ, as we leave here, I want you to go and find me, find someone else. There's a card you can fill out and drop it at the information desk. It just says, I want to know more. It's in the seat back in front of you. I want to know more about what it means to follow Christ so that we may follow up with you. But don't carry that burden anymore. Jesus says, come and let me give you rest. Let's pray for one another and ask the Lord to release us from these burdens, from our weariness as we leave here today. And I'll pray, and then we'll watch our announcement video and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you that you are a big enough God that you can carry all of our burdens. Thank you for loving us enough to not ask us to carry burdens we weren't even designed to carry. Lord, we thank you that through Christ you have made a way for rest in our soul, for now and for eternity. Lord, I pray that every person here would know the rest of being one of your kids, that they don't have to earn heaven because they can't. Lord, I pray that we would learn from you. I pray that we would find delight and not drudgery in working with you in our purpose. Lord, I pray that you would help us to submit to you and not try to take the reins, but to put your yoke on, which is easy and light compared to the other harsh taskmasters. Lord, be with us now as we go. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please watch the screens.